going to look at two passages this morning, Proverbs chapter 3 and Proverbs chapter 6. It is that time of the year, so you'll have to endure, but hopefully I actually enjoy this time of the year when I get the cold, sinus, voice gets lower, starts sounding more and more like John Wayne. All right, so if you can endure, and I'll just kind of dress up this evening then, and I'll get my six guns out and kind of stroll up to the pulpit, okay? But Proverbs 3 and Proverbs chapter 6, we'll be looking at facing a new year wisely. Facing a new year wisely. We're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs, trying to get some principles to help us to face a new year, New Year's wisely. The unknown can be unsettling. And so can your microphone when it doesn't work. So we're going to check in here. Oh, there we go. My mute was on. Now you'll really be happy. I'll try not to scream too loud, Mrs. Coslett and some of the others that put ear plugs in your ears. All right, I'll try to keep calm this morning. All right, but Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 6. The unknown can be unsettling. In fact, the fear of the unknown is known as xenophobia. Now, I'm not going to get into all the list of phobias. There's some really funny phobias that are out there, but we're not going to get into it. Joseph Stalin, the Soviet dictator, feared greatly his life. And he feared his safety. And so in his residence in Moscow, he built 8 bedrooms. Each night, Stalin chose a bedroom at random to ensure that no one knew exactly where he was sleeping because so many people wanted him dead. I don't know if you know this, he is dead, so it didn't work. All right, so even if you're thinking of that way of escaping death, you're still going to die someday. But he feared people coming after him. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, there was a mom that was tucking her boy into bed, and she was about to turn the light off when the little boy asked in a trembling voice, and he says, "Mommy, can you just stay in my room all night?" Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said, "I can't, dear. I have to go sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence followed, and as she was leaving the room, she heard the little boy say, "That big sissy." He misunderstood. There was another story about a young child, and he had never slept through a horrible storm. And the burst of thunder sent the little boy flying into his parents' room. And he cried out, and he said, "Mom, I'm scared." The mother was half asleep, rolled over, and told the frightened boy that God would be with him in his room. The small boy stood in that doorway for a little bit, thinking, and then he whispered to his mom, he said, "Why don't I sleep here with Daddy, and you go in there and sleep in the other room with God?" Okay. Well, sometimes fear can make us do silly things and say silly things. And we're going to be looking at the idea of facing a new year. There's some people that face a new year with fear. They say, "We don't know what's coming up. We don't know what's going to happen this next year." And you're not going to. But in our passage in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, first of all, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him." Notice that ways. Sometimes we say it or we interpret things our own way. And sometimes I've heard it said in when I'm quoting it, "in all thy way." But you'll notice that it says, "in all thy what? Ways." That's plural. "Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." All right, he shall direct thy paths. And then in Proverbs chapter 6, Look at verse 20. We'll be looking at this in just a few minutes. It says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." You may say, well, that's just talking about the father's commandment. Yeah, I understand, but look at the next verse. It says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light." I think for us, it's helping us understand that this is a reference to the Word of God. Because what does Psalm 119 say? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I don't think it's a quinky-dink, as some people say it, that's used here in verse 23. Look what it says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Some decisions we make are more important than others. I don't know if you've thought of that. It's deep thought this morning. Really, the toothpaste you use, I don't know. I mean, Crest, AIM, there's probably like Superman or something out there, or bubblegum flavor. But, you know, there are decisions you make, and I don't know that they have a huge effect. Like, you know what, 10 years ago, some of you, maybe you're distraught this morning because you're 40 years old and you're like, "Dog, for 20 years I've been using Crest." Well, you got issues. All right, that's what I'm just thinking personally, that you got issues. Or if for, you know, 20 years ago you're like, "Man, if only I would have eaten saltine crackers instead of the Jewel brand." And we would all say, you got issues. All right, because if that's lingering there, maybe your decision making, you're a little heightened in your decision making process here. But there are many decisions in our life, but not all decisions have the same rank. But we need to make sure that the decisions, especially spiritual, that we approach them with care. The book of Proverbs gives us some principles. We're just going to look at four principles this morning to help us to make wise decisions in 2016. You know, we can choose to live a life that is self-centered and focused, you know, focus our every desire on ourselves. Or we can choose to live a life that seeks to serve God and to do His will. You know, the liberal world today tries to force some ideas down our throat. And these ideas are things that go against the Word of God. They teach us that some things are not necessarily decisions or choices, but they're diseases. There may be some sitting here and you're struggling with alcoholism. And you say, you don't understand, it is a disease. And maybe there's some tendencies, because there are some tendencies, and that's been proven that, you know, a father or a mother that does certain things, they're going to pass some traits down to their children. I understand that. But I'm never going to kowtow to the media. I'm never going to kowtow to the psychologists or these doctors or the liberals that say that everything is a disease. Because there are some things that are a choice. You have a choice to be moral. You have a choice to put down the bottle. You have a choice to say no to those friends that are trying to get you to do wrong. You have a choice in these things. And what we've come to in America is that we want an excuse. We want to push it off, and we do not want to take personal responsibility for our decisions. I'm sorry, but if I grow up and as a 45-year-old, I'm a loser, guess what? It's my fault. I'm a loser because I'm a loser. And the same with you. If you're a jerk, guess what? It's your fault you're a jerk. You can say, you know what? My mommy made me a jerk. But you know what? You could change that. You could be a nice jerk. But you know what? In our lives, though, I think that we sometimes go along with the world. And in Christianity, we've gotten away from Bible principles and we started accepting some of it. And so now even some of us, we say, well, my parents, it's their fault. No, it's your fault. It's your fault. Learn to grow up and take some responsibility for your actions. And so even today, we're going to look at this idea of making decision and finding God's way, making wise decisions in 2016. And the very important thing is to follow God's way. There's a very funny story about a woman, and she was driving through the mountains out west, and it was near Denver, and she ran into a snowstorm. She was completely lost. I mean, this snowstorm was coming down. She couldn't see anything. And she peered ahead and she saw a snowplow. She decided to follow it. She kept as close to the machine as possible. And it, while it removed snow from the road, and at times the blowing snow almost cut off her view, but her faithful guide, the snowplow, led her in the way. After some time, the plow stopped, its driver got out, walked back, and knocked on the window. She rolled down the window. It was just coming down. She said, "Lady, where are you going?" He said, "I'm on my way to Denver." And he said, "Well, you're never going to get there following me. I'm plowing a parking lot." All right? You know what? It's very important that you follow the right people. Isn't it? You may say, "Well, I'm heading this way." And you're going in circles because really the world, that's all it does. It's circular reasoning all the time. It's just circles and circles and circles and circles. And then you're depressed, depressed, you're happy, depressed, depressed, happy, depressed, depressed. And it's just a continual circle. And you went, "What is wrong?" Well, follow the right advice. Get to the Bible. In order to get to our destination, we need to make sure that we're on the right road. So before we give you the 4 points this morning, I want to cover a couple of myths that are out there in decision making. Number one is God's will is hard to find. Myth number one. I don't think so. Look at Proverbs 6. Remember that passage? This is talking about the Father's commandment. If I follow these things, notice what it says. When thou goest, it shall what? Lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. God's will for us, and this is what some of us want to make it hard because we're like, what is God's will for this next year? And we can almost get like a big time voice, like coming up 2016, find God's will. Like, wow, man, I'm telling you what, I gotta find. You know, sometimes it's not some commercial. It's not this big voice. In fact, wasn't it Elijah? What he found, it was a still small voice. The Bible tells us that I can be still and know that He is God. You see, in the quietness of your daily walk, you can find God's will. And it doesn't have to be really hard, because some of it is simple. Because what I have to do is just get in God's book, His guidebook. And so God's will, I don't think it's so hard. In fact, we learned a lot of things just in the past few months. Last week, on Sunday night, we found out it's God's will to have a heart that's fired up for Him. Was that hard? I'm not supposed to be complacent. I'm not supposed to have a cold heart. I'm supposed to have a heart that's warm and fired up for God. Oh, wow, that was confusing. No, it's not. Then in some of our institute, we learned just in here, as adults, we sat here and we found out that our mouth needs controlled. We found out that our speech should be seasoned with grace. Was that really hard? No, we go to God's Word. We go to God's book. And we find out these things. So God's will is not hard to find. I just have to get the right guidebook. And it's God's Word. Secondly, myth number two. God wants us to know the future. Whoa. No, I don't think so. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. Now, if you look that up and you study that according to even the customs of the time, the lamp and the light led one step at a time. So you know what that tells me? I don't have to sit here and say, God, what about 2025? I don't know. I can't sleep. God's going to say, well, what about December 28th? Like, well, I'm not worried about that. I'm not really worried about that. What I want to know is 2025. No, God wants to lead you today, and He wants to lead you tomorrow. But some of you, you're so worried about the end of the world that you don't live in this present world. You don't live right now. God's not going to reveal to you all this future. And actually in Sunday school class, Dr. Vogel was talking about the prophets. And the prophet is there saying, oh, hey, listen, now this is really going to happen to the end of the world. You know why that makes so much money? Because you really have no clue. And stupid Americans, guess what they're doing? Buying the books by the boatload while he buys his own personal island in the Caribbean. And he's like, yeah, let me write one of them. I'm thinking of writing a book about the future. We could pay off our buildings. We could pay off our buildings. We could just make up something completely ridiculous. And you know what? It would sell. Why? Because it doesn't have to be proven. But you know what can be proven? I can watch your life in the past couple years and I can see if you were led by God. People don't like that. Because what? I can look back at the decisions you make and I can see where you're headed in the future. I can look back this way and see, follow God, follow God, follow God. And I can see you're pointed to following God. It's not that hard. No, God doesn't want us to know the future. Thirdly, we need to be 100% sure before we make a decision. It's never going to happen. You know why? My heart is never 100% sure. But guess what I can be 100% sure behind? God. See, God, according to Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 13. Maybe I'm off there. But I believe it's Hebrews. I know it's in the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ, the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So I may be fickle. All right? Now I just used a big word. Look it up in your dictionary. All right? Fickle means to change. All right? To be uncertain. I may be uncertain, but you don't have to be uncertain. Why? Because you have somebody you can rest in, God. And He's the same today that He was yesterday, and He's the same today as He will be in the future. That's our Savior. And then here's the last myth. God's greatest goal is my happiness. Negative. Negative. You were not put on this earth to be happy. Only in the constant or the Declaration of Independence are you supposed to be able to pursue happiness. And actually, remember I taught you this? What is the root of happiness? There's a root in there. It's called happiness. It's kind of the root of happiness. And so happiness depends upon what? Happenstance. We have that, you know that word, happenstance? It means things that are happening around us determines my happiness. No. What happens around me doesn't change my love for God. Doesn't change my service for the Lord. So as we step into this idea, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3 then. And we'll give you four simple things then to help us. We covered the myths. So how do we step into 2016 and have a good year as far as decision making? Number one, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Place your trust in God completely. Place your trust in God completely. The word trust here, isn't that what we're, verse 5, trust in the Lord. That's a command there, first of all. It's a command. It's an imperative. It's something you and I should do as Christians. No trust in man. Don't trust in your own heart. It says here, trust in the Lord. That idea of trust means to lean with the whole body, to rest one's full weight upon something. We think of trust as putting our assurance in someone. But it's more than that. The word picture here carries the idea of stretching yourself out on a hard surface with full confidence. I'm resting completely. I'm falling back on it. I can rest. I can trust fully. And then notice what it says. I'm trusting in who? The Lord. It's a God, a covenant-making, a promise-keeping God. Proverbs 29 and verse 25 says, Whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. This morning, as you're looking ahead to 2016, I don't know what may be ahead for you. Some of you, you've been here a long time in our church. 30, 40. I don't know. I don't know how it's possible, but I think John Hall's been here 65 years. I don't even know how it's possible, although we've only celebrated 45, because I think before Fairhaven was, he was and is. But you know what? Some of you have been here a long time. And you say, man, you know, this happened or this happened or this happened. But this is what you can bank on. If you trust in the Lord completely, you'll be fine. Trust in Him. I may not know what's going to happen in 2016, and some of us, right? Who would have thought that on anniversary Sunday night, Pat would fall over, and according to us, we thought he died. But we had to deal with that, didn't we? So what are we going to do, God? Trust in Him. Rest fully. Just cast yourself upon Him. And trust in Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And guess what will happen? He'll direct thy paths. We're supposed to totally trust and place our complete commitment in Him. And it says here, we trust in Him with what? All thy heart. So the first thing is that we trust or place our trust in God completely. Secondly, we said there's more. So let's get them quickly here. Number one, place your trust in God completely. Out of the book of Proverbs here, let's go to our second one, Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. All right, there's a couple other verses. You're in Proverbs 6. Let me read Proverbs 10 and verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. And then let me read another one in Proverbs 31 and verse 21. It says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. That idea of scarlet is something that would keep them warm. They were prepared. Look at Proverbs 6 then in verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. What are we supposed to do? Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And then what does it tell us? Watch out for being what? A sluggard. So I'm placing my trust in God completely, but then secondly, I am planning ahead and thinking thoroughly. There's nothing wrong with planning. There are some people, and even in Christian realms, they say, you know what, don't make any plans. Well, that's not really Bible, because actually Jesus Christ in some of his parables, he mentioned to us that what kind of person is it that goes out to fight a war and he hasn't scoped it out? What kind of man is he that goes to build a tower and he doesn't know how to build it? Now, it sure seems like Christ is telling me to use my noggin, because he gave you one. Now, you may say, you know what? Mine is not very good. I agree with you. All right, it's not worth much. All right, you're probably the dumbest bulb. And I mean, I'm telling you, not just LED and the curlicues, the lightest. I mean, the little Christmas lights have more light than you do. You know what? We feel sorry for you this morning. But we don't have time to kind of encourage you. What we have to do is consider everybody else. No, I'm just kidding. God has created all of us. And he's given us the capabilities to do what is necessary. So what are we supposed to do? Plan ahead and think thoroughly. An ant could tell you strange things. An ant could tell about the houses they live in, some of which are 40 stories in height. 20 stories with some ant hills. I guess it wouldn't be, that'd be like an ant condo. All right, but some of these ant condos are 20 stories below the earth. They would tell you, if you'd follow the ants, they'd tell about how they're down in the ground. They would tell you about the masons. They'd tell you about the houses and the long walls and the supported pillars. They would tell you how some of the ants are carpenters. Some of them are soldiers. Some of them are laborers. Some of them are guards outside. That's what the ants would tell you. If you would watch them and they would talk to you, you can go to the ant, the little tiny ant, and you can learn some important lessons. And for you and I, as we're coming into 2016, what's it telling you? Plan ahead. Think things through thoroughly. The ant gives us a lesson of industry. It gives us a lesson of perseverance. It gives us a lesson of union. It gives us a lesson of prudence. Because the ant, he doesn't just wait. He works right now. Why? Because the harvest, the winter time is coming. And I've got to store up. I've got a plan. And you and I are ignorant if we don't plan. We're silly if we don't think ahead. We're silly if we say, que sera, sera? Right? You know that's a song, don't you? I don't base my life on a song. Some people are like, oh yeah, que sera, sera. I'm sorry, it's a cute song, but how can I build my whole life on it? And some of us sitting here, we're like, you know what? Whatever. And then you get smacked upside the head with a 2x4. You're like, oh, man, I didn't see that coming. The Bible says plan. Learn from the little ant that looks ahead. What does the Bible say? The wise man seeth the evil. What? And hideth himself. Oh, now teenagers, that's a smart one right there. So guess what? I can see the evil. All I have to do is go and I can look at what drugs do to somebody, what alcohol does. Take a field trip. Go to a hospital. And walk down the rooms, the aisle there, and go room to room. And you'll see what alcohol, what drugs does. Go to a mental ward sometime. And guess what you'll find? You'll find what drugs and alcohol, what cigarettes, what all this world has to offer. You'll see what it gives you. And guess what you can do? You can, a wise man sees the evil. And when they come up like, nope, I'm going this way. Why? Because you can be wise in 2016. How can you be wise? I plan ahead. I think thoroughly through things. So then, our third point. So what is our? Place your trust in God completely. Secondly, I plan ahead and think thoroughly. Thirdly, Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Then, this is in the matter of the mouth. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now, you and I probably, we probably shouldn't reveal this as husbands. All right, but many of us as husbands, we have got caught because we answered something before our wife was done, right? Like, yeah, no. All right, and then later on, like, I was just asking if you wanted rice. Like, oh. All right, and after your rage, you know, you go and you're whipping everything. You're like, you know what? I am the man. You know, this house will stand as Joshua. As for me and my house. Like, rice? Like, oh, I was just practicing for Sunday. Just trying. But guess what? Some of us, we answer something what before we hear it, don't we? We jump to a conclusion. So, in 2016, don't presume facts prematurely. You know, if you get really caught up, I remember I think a couple years ago, somebody handed me something. They wanted me to read it, and it was about the end of the world. And man, I guess I was supposed to get all kind. Remember Y2K? Oh yeah, Y2K. So what? Don't presume facts. Y2K is shutting everything down. And I have to admit, I got some water. I put it in my basement. I did. I had like 2 liters, and you put a little drop of chlorine in it. And so I had some stacks of those. I even had some like ration food. Sorry, I have to admit it. 15 years later, yep, I think I finally threw them out. I'm not sure, but I may have missed it. I may have missed it because we may not really be here. You know, we may not really be here, so Y2K probably did happen. But guess what? That's what some of us, we presumed some facts prematurely, didn't we? And be careful of doing that. Be careful of jumping down some road and like, yeah. No. Research it. Remember, that goes with our point 2. Plan ahead and think things through thoroughly. If something sounds ridiculous, more than likely, it is. It's ridiculous. So be careful. I read a story. I thought this was really appropriate because we're right here in the South Bend area. Remember Newt Rockne? John Hall, he played football with him. Oh, I'm sorry. But Newt Rockne played football and then he coached for Notre Dame. He was famous as a player. I think one for the Gipper is like one of his classic statements, do one for the Gipper. But Newt Rockne, he had a game coming up. He was playing USC. All right, he was playing USC. USC was ranked a lot better than Notre Dame. And his players were very scared. He could tell. And so he didn't know what to do. And so Newt Rockne had an idea. It was a brilliant idea. He put an ad out, and then he interviewed guys in the South Bend area, and he hired them for 1 hour. He hired them for 1 hour, and this is what he did. They had to be over 6'5", and they had to be just huge dudes. He hired 100 of them. Then, when game time came, he dressed them up in Notre Dame gear, and they led the charge out of the locker room. 100, he said they were huge. The biggest dudes you could ever imagine, and all of them started running out. 100 of them, and then his little scrawny dudes that were the real football players were behind. USC saw them coming out. And they're like, "Coach." The coach knew that wasn't the players. They had scouted the team. They had looked at them. And then he realized, but the damage was already done, and Notre Dame thumped their melons. You know why? Guess what the players did? They presumed, didn't they? The USC players presumed, "Oh no, Goliath!" You know what? David didn't presume, did he? David said, the battle's the Lord's. That's what we've got to understand. We don't have to presume facts prematurely. Lastly, look at Proverbs chapter 15. We were there in, 13. Proverbs 15 and verse 22. "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Now, there's a lot of confusion when it comes to this idea. So let's review them. There's trust in God completely. Plan ahead and think thoroughly. Don't presume facts prematurely. And pursue godly counsel promptly. All right, notice I put the word in there, godly. There's a lot of people and they have counselors, but they're the wrong counselors. They're worldly counselors. They're liberal counselors. They're ungodly counselors. They don't know anything about Scripture. And so be careful. It's better to have a few counselors than have a multitude of worldly counselors, just so you know. The Bible is telling us to pursue godly counsel, not ungodly counsel. And so we need then to come into a new year. How can I face this new year? There's the unknown out there in 2016. What am I supposed to do, God? Trust in God completely. Plan ahead and think thoroughly. Don't presume facts prematurely. And then pursue godly counsel promptly. Are you facing tough decisions? Oh, you will. This year, you're going to have some tough decisions. There's some of you in your homes, you're going to have some tough decisions. You're going to have to make some decisions. It could be as a husband and wife, and you're going to make some calls on some things. It may be then with your family, you got to make some calls. It could be in the area of church. We got to make some calls. We got to decide some things. How am I going to know, God? He gives us the Word of God to guide us. I don't have to face that unknown. I don't have to have xenophobia. Oh no, what am I going to do? I don't have to lock up. Stress. Ulcers. No. I don't have to. God, listen to this as we close. God will never lead you contrary to His Word. He'll never do it. He's never going to do it. God's Word can be your lamp and your light. So trust in God completely. He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day. But step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plan I do not know. I only know this minute. But He will say, "This is the way. By faith now, walk in it." And I am glad that it is so. Today's enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, His grace shall far exceed its care. What need to worry then or fret? The God who gave His Son holds all the moments in His hand and gives them one by one. Don't fret about tomorrow. Instead, trust God today, moment by moment, minute by minute. And what you'll find is He'll guide you through safely in 2016. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Spoke to Christians this morning. speaking to you in regards to this 2016 coming up. You're going to face some things. You're going to face some hard things. All of us do. And I can't tell you what it's going to be. But I can give you some principles, and that's what we tried to do this morning, and how to lead your life in a wise way. How can I really know God's will? Trust God completely. Plan ahead and think thoroughly. Don't presume facts prematurely. And pursue godly counsel promptly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time that we could go to the Word of God and glean principles so that we can have a safe 2016. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed, eyes closed. God dealt with you this morning in one of these areas, and you need to come to the altar. You come forward.